Today the reading is from 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. And this comes from letters Jesus wrote to the Christians, encouraging to believe in and have strong faith in Jesus Christ and love one another. And that is on page 1225. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did.
There is a sermon outline with a notice sheet. You might like to have, the verse we're going to be looking at is printed on the service sheet as well. You might like to have your Bibles open at page 1043. We will come to that in a moment. The pursuit of happiness, the American dream, the British dream. What's your dream? Don't we all long to be happy? Life's a pursuit for happiness. Yeah, the question is more, where are we looking for that? Who are we listening to? Our boss or spouse? The inner gut feelings we have? Is happiness more hours at work to get the promotion and financial security and early retirement? Is happiness devoting our lives to our children, hoping they'll achieve all they dream of? Are we driven by the need to be true to ourselves and our desires? We only live once, so we must do what feels right for us. Who are we listening to? Where are we looking for true happiness in life? Broadly speaking, we naturally seek fulfillment in one of two places, either in the world or in religion. For some of us, our hope will be in what the world offers. It used to be called sex and drugs and rock and roll. It may still be that for some of us. Certainly the pursuit of sexual gratification, or perhaps money and wealth, or status symbols, gadgets. Perhaps our family's ultimate goal is, that's the goal of our affection, our family. Or we want to have a wide network of friends. We're happy if we feel others love us. This whole church thing may be an odd experience for us. You may rarely, if ever, go to church. The weddings, funerals, maybe baptisms. And that's about it. If God exists, is he really relevant to you? For others, we may feel quite at home at church. We're old hands, so to speak. We're convinced God exists, and our hopes rest in keeping him happy. Living morally, attending church regularly, helping others, doing things in the hope that one day when you stand before him after you die, he might see fit to smile and welcome you into heaven. Of course, you realise you're not perfect, but you say you're not as bad as some people, generally a good person. All of us long to be happy. Two places we naturally look, to the world or to religion. So which is it? Which brings us that true happiness we crave? Life at its best. I'm not convinced it's either. Of course, the world offers moments of happiness. That first sip of beer or wine on a Friday evening after work. The new phone or car or bonus that means we can go on holiday to get away from it all. And religion may well give a sense of righteousness, of self-righteousness, of doing things for God that keeps him happy. I mean, but these things often fall short for us. Someone's always got a bigger and better car. The next phone comes out that we must have. The hangover on the morning after the night before. The holiday's a nightmare when the kids play up and our kids those dreams we had for them that they're just not interested in. For the religious amongst us, have we ever really quite done enough to tip the scales in our favour? We're busy, busy, busy trying to do so much. Will God really be happy with me? There's always more I could or should be doing. And when I make a mess of things, sometimes I can't forgive myself. How will God ever forgive me? We long to be happy. The world and religion offer so much. But experience suggests they never quite satisfy. We're often left wanting more or unsure if we've done enough. To that, God says, I know. Our experience of life affirms what God's word, the Bible, says. That the things the world offers and the things religion offers fall short, never quite fulfilling our deepest desire for happiness. It may surprise us, but the Bible isn't a religious book. It's not a book about being religious, about what to do to please God. The Bible speaks deeply against religion. We're going to look at one verse today, which tells us that religion's not the answer to happiness. But not only that, this verse also claims to give the answer to the question, where will I find true happiness? This verse is in Luke's Gospel, Dr. Luke's account of Jesus' life, and it's printed on the service sheet. It's Luke 11, 28. And it's page 1043 in the Pew Bibles. And as Pierce said earlier, it's actually the verse that's embossed around the top of the pulpit here. This is Jesus speaking. And to set the scene, Jesus has just performed a miracle. A crowd's gathered round him, understandably, and he's teaching them about God. Suddenly, chapter 11, verse 27, a woman in the crowd shouts out praise to Jesus. Jesus, you're so great. Praise to you and a blessing on your mum who gave birth to you. Blessing really means happy. Jesus, you're so great. The mother who gave birth to you must be truly happy. This is a religious woman. If it was today, we might imagine her flat on the floor in front of the table over there, praising Jesus, praising Mary, his mother. Or she might be the one who comes to church every week and sings the loudest with her hands the highest. Praise to you, Jesus. Praise to you, Jesus. Praise to you, Jesus. That's the picture. Thank God for Jesus. And we expect Jesus to say, thank you. That's wonderful. You've done well. But no, Jesus challenges her. It's like he says, blessing, true happiness, it's not just about saying how great I am, offering praises to me. It doesn't even come from being the mother who gave birth to me. Verse 28. Blessed, happy, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. True happiness comes to those who hear the word of God and obey it, says Jesus. Where will we find true happiness? Jesus offers us a third way. Not in the things of the world, not in religious activity. True happiness starts with hearing the word of God. Hear the word of God, Jesus says. Don't hear what the world says. Don't hear what religious people want to say about God. Hear what God says. Where do we look for what God says? Well, the Bible claims to be God's word. If we truly want to hear what God says, we need to hear what the Bible says. It's no surprise then that these words of Jesus are the ones embossed around this pulpit. It's where the Bible, where God's word is proclaimed to those who'd hear it. And what better verse to have on this pulpit than Jesus' own words that true happiness starts with hearing God's word. Yeah, I'm not stood here today for a laugh. I'm not stood here because it's my job. I'm stood here because all I really have to offer you is God's word. What he says. And because what he says to those who hear and obey the word is that they'll find true happiness. The happiness we all long for. I'm stood here because I'm committed to God's word. The burning question in my mind now is, what does God's word say then? We said earlier that the Bible isn't a religious book. It's not a book about us, about what we need to do to please God. The Bible, God's word, is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. From beginning to end, one big story about God's great rescue plan. God's own mission impossible that he's made possible. Well, what's impossible for us, what religion tells us to try and do to get ourselves right with God, God's made possible. God's made us right with himself. The word of God for the world to hear is that Jesus has done the impossible for us. He's restored our broken relationship with God. Not about what we do, but about what Jesus has done. The Bible tells us that God made us for relationship with him. It's in our bones and our souls and our DNA. We're built for relationship. Ultimately with God, who's the ruler over everything. But as the story of the Bible unfolds, we're told that we reject God as ruler. What God calls sin. We want to rule our lives our way. Yeah, which I guess is true in our experience. We want to be boss of our lives. Whether we live as if God doesn't exist, chasing after the things of the world, or whether that means coming to God on our terms, how we want him to be, chasing after religion. Either way, they both put us first and reject God as ruler over us. And sadly, the Bible tells us that that broken relationship with God means he's angry with us. And we face his judgment. It's not good news so far. But we need the darkness to make the light shine brighter. The bad news makes the good news really good news. And as Michelle read to us earlier, the Bible tells us that because God loves us so much and doesn't want that future for us, Jesus came as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Which basically means Jesus took God's judgment in our place. He paid the price for us. We reject God. God's angry. Through his death on the cross, Jesus took God's anger in our place. In Jesus, we find forgiveness for rejecting God as the ruler. And simply, we can be friends with God again. That's God's word in a nutshell. And in Luke 11, Jesus says that's where we'll find true happiness, in Jesus, because he's the one who can make us friends with God again. And what a cool friend he is. You know, for those of us who used to play top trumps, it's like the biggest and best top trump. You know, the unbeatable card scores 100 on every category. The God who made everything is my best friend. Trump that. Why is true happiness found in Jesus? Because in Jesus, God becomes our best friend, which changes our lives. Yeah, from that day on and forever, our future is with God as friend, not as judge. And that's the best life. Hear God's word, the storyline of the Bible, true happiness is found in Jesus. Trusting in him, not the world or religion. But what does it mean to hear? For those of us with children, how many times have we found ourselves saying, have you heard what I've said? Do you understand? What do we mean by that? Right, what am I expecting? What does hearing what I've said look like for my children? It's more than just listening. It's more than agreeing in principle. As a parent, when I ask my child, for example, not to put the nightlight in the bath because it breaks it, and I say, have you heard me? Bethany, I don't just mean listen to what I'm saying. I mean, don't put the nightlight in the bath. Hearing truly means a change of behaviour. I know Bethany's truly heard when she responds to what I've said. Have you heard what I've said, Bethany? Do you understand? Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Truly hearing the word leads to a response. Jesus is saying, hear the good, great news of God's word, what we might call the gospel. That Jesus can rescue us from God's judgment. And if you've really heard it, act on it. Take it Take hold of it. Make it your own. Respond to the good news. True happiness is found in Jesus. So turn to Jesus and follow him. And for some of us, that would mean turning and trusting in Jesus for the first time, shifting our pursuit of happiness away from the world or religion and onto Jesus. Seeing that our greatest need in life is to be in a right relationship with God and not a wrong one. And realizing that our only hope of that rests in what Jesus has done and not what we do. They're the things Jane and I declared in the baptism vows earlier. We turn to Christ. We repent of our sins. We're sorry for wanting to rule our lives instead of God. Words we hope and pray Bethany will say for herself one day. Piers asked us, do you believe and trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed mankind, who paid the price to rescue mankind? Yes, we've really heard God's word, so we believe and trust in him. For those here this morning who are already trusting in Jesus, it means living in light of that fact. As the baptism vows said, continuing as Jesus' faithful soldier and servant to the end of our lives. Living out those changed lives for Jesus, keeping on listening to God's word and doing it. But here's the critical difference between Christianity and religion. Doing it because we're rescued, not in order to try and be rescued. Why do Christians, people who are trusting in Jesus, try to live under God's rule? Because we love God. Because he's already done everything to rescue us. When someone loves us and we love them, then we want to please them, you know, whatever that looks like. For Jane, it may be me giving her chocolate or a back rub or talking to her, telling her how much I love her. Yeah, it's not a chore. I don't do it to earn her love. I already have it and I love her. Jesus isn't speaking about religion, but about relationship. It's what happened to Zacchaeus, as we heard earlier. A change of life born out of relationship, of recognizing all God's done for us in Jesus because he first loved us, and responding to that in love, not trying to earn his love. Again, the end of the verses Michelle read say exactly the same thing. We know that we've come to know him if we obey his commands. Yeah, and that's not an easy thing. Yeah, it's not natural to want God to be rightful ruler of my life instead of me. You know, instinctively, I want to do what I want. It's part of my human nature. It too, sadly, is part of my bones and my soul and my DNA. But when we turn and trust in Jesus, God doesn't leave us alone to flail around. In the baptism vows, Jane and I declared that we believe and trust in God's Holy Spirit who gives life to the people of God. God works in the lives of his people. So where I, Ben, get this whole obedience to Jesus thing wrong, and I get it wrong so often, God's at work in me, shaping and honing and refining me so that I might love him better. Christians, those trusting in Jesus, should expect changed lives. People looking at Christians should expect to see changed lives. And one of the reasons people don't want anything to do with Christianity is because all too often, Christian lives don't look any different to anyone else. At best, we then do Jesus a great disservice. At worst, as we heard in our reading earlier, the man who says I know him but does not do what he commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. And loving God with my life is ultimately true happiness for all the struggles and strains of life, because God's way is ultimately the best way and mine isn't. Because God really is God and I'm not God. And God really does know what's best, even if it doesn't feel that to me or isn't what I choose. And we live in a world that encourages us to live as rulers of our own lives, pursuing the things of this world or pursuing religion, and it's a broken world. We've proven time and again that our way isn't the best way. There's death and mourning and crying and pain and broken relationships and a mess. But out of the storm of life, there is true happiness to be found, now and forever, in Jesus. As we finish, there are three places we might look to try and find the true happiness we long for: the world, religion, or in Jesus. Each of us here this morning is pursuing one of those things. The world says I'm ruler of my life. Religion pretends God's the ruler, but really it's about me coming to God on my terms, which makes me the ruler of my life. God's word says, turn and follow Jesus. Let him be the ruler. He's much more qualified for the job and has already done everything we need. Turning to Jesus and following him is where we'll find true happiness, life at its best. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know that our hearts long to be truly happy. Forgive us when we think we know better than you, for pursuing happiness in anything other than Jesus. Thank you that Jesus has made a way for us to be friends with you, that in him we find true happiness. Please may we all see more clearly this morning the wonder of what you've done in Jesus. And may that change our lives. Amen.